We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 11 this morning, and we may read some passages of Scripture from Matthew chapter 6. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, let's begin reading there, and I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of prayer. What is about prayer, or what is prayer? And I think we need to understand that, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to understand that, because that's what He told me. I was going to teach on something else. I was going back to Ephesians, and he said, no, I want you to talk about prayer this morning. So that's where we're going. Just ask you this question. And if you're a Christian, you don't need to raise your hand, but I know all Christians pray, right? As Christians, I know that most all of us have had prayers answered, right? But we have prayers that aren't answered or haven't been answered. We're not going to go into that right now. I have another deal on why prayers aren't answered, but there's several reasons for it. One of them is we may not be praying for the right thing, or we may be praying for the right thing, but it's not in God's timing. And several other situations and things, but one of the things that I want you to learn about prayer is if you have a prayer that you've been praying, you need to talk to the Lord about it and say, Lord, let me know why this is not being answered, or what do I need to do to pray a prayer so that this I can get my prayers answered, not just for myself, but for others. So Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And speaking here, and it came to pass that as he was praying, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so we have here a beginning of a lesson that Jesus is using to describe to his disciples not only just how to pray, teach us to pray, but the point of prayer is, there's a lot of points to prayer, but one of the primary points of prayer is that we get in touch with the Lord and we know He hears us. Amen. And the second most important thing, I guess, is that we get in touch with the Lord and we know He hears us. But not only that, when the disciples, I believe, or this disciple in particular, and I'm sure all of the disciples were thinking pretty much the same thing, because they saw Jesus pray a number of times, and every time He prayed, His prayers was answered. And they saw some of the answers. And so when He was saying, Lord, teach us to pray, He was just saying, not, Lord, teach us to say some words. A lot of people in Matthew 6, and I probably won't go over there, but that's where he's telling them, He gives them a model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so on. But He's not giving them that model prayer so that they can quote it and pray it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But He's given that model prayer as an example of how we pray. Our Father which art in heaven means we don't just say Our Father who art in heaven when we pray. It just means that we're very much aware and conscious of the fact that when we're praying, we're talking to the most powerful being in all of creation. And we're also aware of the fact, because we've been born again by His Spirit, that He can do anything and everything. So when He says that, pray Our Father, which art in heaven, He's saying He's your Father, He loves you, you have a relationship with Him, He delights in answering your prayers because He's your Father. Amen. And it doesn't make any difference what the situation or the circumstances may be that you're praying about or talking to him about. He's our Father in heaven. He's above everything. He's over everything. He can do anything. Amen? That's another sermon. So Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11, chapter 1, verse 1. In verse 2, he said unto them, now he's trying to show them how to pray. And he says, when you pray, say or speak. Speak this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So one of the first things he has here to say is that the Lord is hallowed, he should be reverenced, and that we should pray for his kingdom to come, to be in power. Amen. And we should pray also that his will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Then he said, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Lord, we're depending on you to get us through the day and the things that we need to survive, to eat or whatever. And forgive us our sins, verse 4, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we come to the part where he's going to describe some things. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? How many of y'all have a friend? A good close friend. Amen? And you go to your friend at night, midnight. It's a very unusual time. He has to be a good friend if you're going to him at midnight. And you say unto him, friend, I need 3 loaves of bread. And you tell your friend, it's not just for myself, but I have a friend of mine in his journey. He's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. You never know when company's going to show up. You ever had company come at midnight? And they're hungry? And whatever their needs may be. And the person from inside, your friend, he's going to say, what in the world are, can I paraphrase this for you? What in the world are you waking me up for here in the middle of the night? Don't you have any sense? Don't give me any trouble. I'm already in bed, my door's shut, everything's locked up. My children are all asleep in bed, and you come here and I can't get up and wake up my children and open my door and find you some bread or make some bread or whatever you need me to do. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you need something that's desperate? And one of the things he's teaching us here is that God isn't like that. His door is always open. He always has plenty of everything. And it doesn't make any difference what time of the day it is or what time of the night or whatever the problem or the issue that we are in. We can come and knock on his door anytime. Isn't that wonderful? That's what prayer is. Verse 8, Jesus says to him, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his situation, because of his need, because of his problem, because of his issue, whatever it is, It's not because he's your friend. It's because he loves us and he's concerned about all of our needs. So we can talk to him about anything. And we can talk to him about anything, anytime. And also, if we talk to him about anything at any time, we understand that he's our Father, and when we come before him, we're just not coming before him just to ask something, and we don't even take time to think about, well, who we're coming before and who we're talking to or speaking with. The first thing we do is we come before him in an humble manner, realizing really we don't deserve anything from him. Everything that he's given us is not anything on account of us because we deserved it, because we're in an inopportune situation. We're in a place where we don't deserve anything from him. We never have, will, never will. It's never based on our deserving. It's always based on his love and his giving. That's why you can expect your prayers to be answered. Amen. But they may not always be answered in the way or in the manner we think. But that's part of the issue when we come before him and call him our Heavenly Father and bow before him in humility. We realize that whatever we're asking for, it may not be exactly what we think we need to hear or what we think he needs to do in order to take care of the situation. He has all kinds of ways and means of handling circumstances that we don't even know about. And sometimes when we're praying, if we find ourselves in these situations, we really don't know what we're asking for is really the thing that we need. It may be something else. But the point is, our Heavenly Father knows. And can we trust him? Can we believe him to do what's right by us? And if we have a relationship with him, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but if we have a good relationship with him and talk to him and he's our friend and we have a relationship with him, not just religion, but a relationship, and we know that he knows us and we know that we know him, we may not know him in the same manner, in the same way that he knows us, but we do know that we know him, right? God help us if we don't know that. Because how can we expect to get anything from somebody we don't know? Are you with me? We're talking about prayer. So he says in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his condition, because of his situation, or whatever is concerning him, he, your Heavenly Father, your friend, actually the best friend you'll ever have, will ever have, amen, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. He will supply all of our needs, the scripture says, according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. So he says, so I say unto you, and I say unto you, ask. James, I think it's chapter 4, verse 7, he says, you have not because you ask not. I've heard people literally say, I don't know, am I supposed to ask God for something like that? Well, do you need new tires on your car? Do you think he would be able to supply some new tires? You have not because you ask not. He wants us to talk to him about everything. If you have a good friend, you don't feel like the friend is going to criticize you and find fault with you and difficulty with you, and because you're his friend and you're you're asking him for something. You feel like he's your friend, and because he is your friend, you can talk to him about it. Now, whether he has the ability to do that or not, your friend may not have the ability to do that, but he knows somebody who does have the ability to do that. And if nothing else, he can, your friend, can agree with you, with God in prayer, that God will supply your needs, because that's one of his special promises. If two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing they would ask, he'll do it. And when he says to you and to his disciples, if you can believe, all things are possible to him, believe, he said, if you can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it'll be done. Are you listening to what he's saying? He's saying, how many of you would ever want to move a mountain into the sea? We don't even have any mountains around here, right? He's not talking about that kind of a mountain, is he? He's talking about a mountain, as far as you're concerned, it's a mountain, it's a problem, it's an issue, we're concerned. It's something that is troubling us, it's something that's bothering us, it's something that's in the way of maybe we needing to get to the sea. And we don't want to have to climb over a high mountain to get it. It's not, are we listening here this morning? How to pray? What is prayer? Prayer is getting our prayers answered. But we have to pray the prayer of faith. And we have to ask, because he says, ask, verse 9, it shall be given you. And if you ask and it's not given to you right away, seek. Find out, seek. And you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And when we have an issue and we want to have an answer to our prayers, then we don't just go say, well, Father, when you can, if you get time, if you think so, whatever, I have this issue, would you please take care of it? And when he says knock, I don't think he just means go. I think he means knock and keep on knocking. Are you listening? That's what he's saying. He that knocketh. It's not a knock, it's knocketh. We're talking about answered prayer. Getting your prayers answered. He says, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I'm going to just pause right there. Let me remember where I am. Well, let me go ahead with verse 10. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he's saying that to all of his children. Now, what I wanted to say here, and I've already said it in a way, but I just want to make sure we all understand. I don't go where I'm living right now because I love horses. I don't go to him in prayer and say, Lord, you say if I ask, I'll receive. I want a horse in my backyard. Now, that seems ridiculous. But some of the things we ask him for are just that ridiculous. Lord, I want $100,000, or I need $1 million, or, you know, are you listening? So we understand automatically, that's just common sense, that it's not, when he says you'll have what you ask for, it's not something stupid or foolish. And if we think sometimes that, and we're not sure he really wants us to have what we're asking for, or maybe it's not something we just actually need at that particular time, or it's not all that important, it's not something that's immediate. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And then how do we pray about that? How do we get our prayers answered there? We ask We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, Father, if I'm not, and I've prayed like this a lot of times. Lord, if I'm not asking just for the right thing, please help me see what it is and how you want me to ask you about this particular matter. Because I know if it concerns me, you're concerned about me, and I need to know how to pray about it. And maybe even it's not just me, maybe it's about somebody else. Lord, I need to know, how do I pray for that particular person's issue so that our prayers can be answered and their needs can be met? And that's when we get away from just praying for what we need and start praying for what others need. Boy, we're getting on the right track then. Because as we supply others' needs, we find out that we don't have that many needs because He takes care of us because we're taking care of others. It's not just a selfish thing and a self-centered thing that we're praying for. It's something for a friend whom we love and whom we're concerned about. And we all have children, or most of us, and children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews, and they all need a prayer for something. Amen? I don't need you to raise your hand if everybody's honest. We're all praying for something. Amen? And some of us have been praying for something for a long time. And maybe we just need to find out, Lord, if you were serious. Now listen. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Bible says. A prayer of faith means it's not just throwing it up in the air loosely and waiting to see what's God going to do. Are you with me? The prayer of faith is we throw it up there with expectation. We're not just praying loosely, loosey-goosey, if you want to use that term. We're praying because someone has a need, we have a need, something's going on, and we're praying because we know we're talking to our Heavenly Father in heaven, who is a God of all power and who can do all things, and so we can pray expectantly for Him to hear and answer our prayers. And then that way, boy, yeah. How many of you ever really prayed for something and it came to pass and you were shocked? Huh? And how many of you have prayed for something and expectantly and it took a while, but it finally came and you were filled with gratitude? You could say, thank you, Lord. Now I want to get to another important part of prayer. Because our Heavenly Father, what He's telling us here, just quite simply, is God, your Heavenly Father, wants to answer your prayers. Amen? Luke 11, verse 10. For everyone that asks, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. And then here is what this is all based upon, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No. I've been hungry many a time when I come in from school. What are mom, you make me a sandwich or whatever? Get out of my way, son. Slap me on the head. You don't have any business talking to me right now. I'm busy. I got things I need to do. who are you anyway? And she doesn't give me a stone either. She gives me a sandwich. Why? No matter how busy she is or how she's feeling, she takes care of me. And he's saying, God will do the same thing for you because he's your heavenly Father and you're his child. That's prayer. That's prayer. If he'll ask a fish, will the Father give a fish to him? He's asking for a fish. Will the Father give him a serpent or a snake? Heavens, no. You know, this doesn't need an answer. It answers itself, and this is what God is trying to get us to see and them to see. You have a Heavenly Father that knows your needs before you even ask. But you're supposed to ask because He wants to answer. He has a delight in answering your prayers. Verse 12. If he'll ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And then he says, If you then, being evil, and here's a word in translation, evil, doesn't mean they were evil in the sense of the original language. It just means we're not as good as God is. It means we're human beings. It means we don't have the capability and the ability that God has. Amen. It just means, and we're not, it means also that we're not worthy. And he doesn't give us, see, a lot of people say, I can't get my prayers answered because I didn't do enough for God, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. The first prayer that you pray to get saved is, or we pray to get saved is, we didn't do anything for it. Amen. We just come and say, Lord, please, God, forgive me for I've sinned and come short of your glory. And boy, he does. He doesn't give us a stone, beat us over the head. He doesn't give us a fish a rock or a stick or whatever. He answers our prayers and he saves us. And we're born again by the Spirit of God into his kingdom. And he lets us know, hey, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding in our hearts. He is now the God that I didn't know and have any understanding about. I still don't know him all that well. I don't know him very long. But I know he's touched my life. He's changed me in answer to my prayer. Amen. It began with that. Now, what's the difference as we go on and continue in our life? He still wants us to ask him for things. Whatever they may be, not stupid things. I'm not asking for a horse to be in my backyard. And as much as I'd like to have one, and as much as I love to fly, I'd like to ask him for an airplane. But I can't afford it if I had it. So he's not talking about stupid things. He's talking about reality. And so he says in verse 13, if you then, being relatively evil, not so good as I am, or as good as God is, but you know how to give good gifts unto your children, right? How much more? Everybody say much more. He's willing to give you more than you're really asking for. Amen. How much more shall your Heavenly Father? And then here he's showing one of the main things that we need to ask him for, and that's to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. We need to be asked, Lord, we need to be asking. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. That's the same thing as saying, fill me with your presence, Lord. I need your presence in my life. not just when I'm in church, or not just when I'm trying to do some kind of religious thing. I need your presence in my life as I go through my day-to-day activities, as I go through my job, as I'm having issues and problems. I was sharing Saturday yesterday in a funeral. If we have that relationship with God and that knowledge, we can talk to Him about anything. The Bible says He knows our needs before we even ask. And we have not because we're not asking. And sometimes we have not because, James says in chapter 4, because we're asking amiss. And so when we come to Him, if we don't get an answer because of expectation, a lot of times people are just praying and they don't expect anything, and so they go a long time and never did get an answer, and they didn't expect anything. They didn't get anything, and they forgot all about what it was anyway they were praying about. Are you with me? So if anything else, He's telling us we need to be serious when we're praying. Not foolish. Just being serious. And so, if I have an issue on my job, if I have a job superintendent and I'm running a job in a refinery and there's a unit down and they're working hard and paying millions of dollars to get all the things done and the vessels changed and we've had to cut pressure vessels and tall towers completely in half and lift them off and had a new section repaired and have to come bring that new section in. And that's all ASME code work, and it has to be done according to code and all. I've done all of that. So what I'm talking about is I'm saying I can talk to Him about that. I can talk to Him about a superintendent that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's not running his job. He's off somewhere else. I can talk to him. And I'm not talking to him about it so I can fire him or knock him in the head. I'm talking about how do I help him? He's a good man. I need him. I can talk to him about my car, my carburetor, my clutch, my home, my windows, my air conditioning, my electrical system. I mean, he knows all about everything. Amen? And I think I shared before when I was working out at the Naval Air Station as their number one title, one inspector for everything under the sun. And they hired me through an engineering firm because they couldn't hire individuals. They had to hire me through an engineering firm. So I was working for Intech Engineering. And they told me, Lewis, when you get out there, if you ever need anything, mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, instrument engineer, structural engineer, any kind of an engineer, we have all kinds of engineers here on the staff. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask, and I'll put the right engineer on the phone, he'll answer your question for you. And if he can't, he'll come out there. And in fact, one time I had one had to come out because I didn't understand what was going on. And he come out there, and he spent a whole Sunday, I think it was, or Saturday on the weekend. He come out there and spent a whole day almost trying to figure out what the issue was. And he was an engineer. Boy, I was so thankful Monday morning he had the answer because they were expecting me to give an answer. I was sitting around a conference room. And people there, the OIC, officer in charge of construction for all the whole Naval Air Station, is there. And his engineer and his assistants and his people and the people we were doing the job for, it could have been CCAD because CCAD was out there. That was the Army part of it. And I'm sitting there praying. They didn't know I was praying, but I knew I was praying because we had a problem. And the Lord had to know. He knew what the problem was. He knows everything. But sometimes, now get this, He had to explain something to me in engineering terms, and because I wasn't an engineer, I didn't really understand what He was talking about. Are you listening? So I needed some simple answers. Simple answers. And I'm trying to say that God helped me in all of my circumstances and situations of life. Helped me with my children. Helped me with our marital relationships. Helped me with my grandchildren. Helped me with my jobs. Helped me with our finances. Helped me with anything. And I have learned completely to depend and trust in God on everything. And that's what I do. And we had three children, and not any one of them was perfect. They were a chip off the old block. Me. And I couldn't change them. But I knew who could. And he loved them more than I did. James 5:16, important verse. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified Bible has the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Wow. He's telling you and you and you and me, you can pray an effectual fervent prayer, a heartfelt, earnest prayer. And that prayer, are you with me? Are you listening? It releases in the spiritual realm and in people's lives a dynamic power. The power of God. It can change anything and can do anything. That's how He wants us to pray. Amen? Even if we don't feel like it. It doesn't say if you feel like praying that, well, just pray that way. It just says, if you want to pray, you want to get your prayers answered, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, and then pray the effectual, fervent prayer. Because it avails much. It makes dynamic tremendous power available. The idea of this whole situation is this. If we have a relationship that is a day-to-day fellowship with our Heavenly Father and communication with Him, it's not that we have to go running somewhere and get into their church or a meeting or we have to say the Lord's Prayer. It just means that our bodies are the habitation of God through the Spirit. And it means that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It means effectual, fervent prayer means I can talk to Him as I'm driving down the highway. I can talk to Him while I'm washing dishes. I can talk to Him while I'm mowing the grass. And it doesn't just mean talking to Him, prayer doesn't mean just to ask for something. It doesn't mean that, but it means I can just, He said, when you come in, be thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Father, driving down the highway in my car, I'm going to the jailhouse. I'm going to see somebody. Well, their husband or their wife called me or their mother called me and said, he's in jail over in New Estes County. Would you get over there and see him? He needs some help. I don't even know the guy. I don't even know why he's in jail. I don't know what he needs. So I'm going down the highway, SPID. I'm going to the Nueces County Jail because I've been working at the Naval Air Station. I get off at lunch, and I tell them I'll be a little late coming back. I don't tell them where I'm going, but I'm going down to the Nueces County Jail, see a man I don't even know, to talk to him and see if I can help him about a problem I don't even know he has. Do I need God's help in that situation? You better believe it. So I'm driving along, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't know what this man needs. I've had literally, and I didn't see him, but I knew he was there. In fact, on this particular occasion, as I was driving down SPID, it was just like Jesus come and sit down in the passenger seat beside me. It was just like I was talking to him. As a matter of fact, I was talking to him about somebody else, and the thought came to my mind, while I have him here and he's so close, I have this issue I need to talk to him about. So I turned to him and I said, Lord, about this problem. And he started laughing. Literally. He laughed as he went out the door and disappeared. And as he was going out the door, he said, it'll be taken care of by tomorrow at 12 o'clock. He was gone. The next day, I looked at my watch. At 12 o'clock, that deal was taken care of. And it wasn't an easy deal either. As a matter of fact, our youngest daughter, we had purchased her a car because she had a job when she graduated from high school. I purchased her a brand new Plymouth Saparo because I was making a lot of money working for an engineering company. When she got married, she said, Dad, we don't need this car anymore. Here it is. Now I have a truck, and my wife has a car, and now we have another car. And I'd been paying on it for a couple of months, and I was strapped. And I had prayed, Lord. And so when he was sitting in my car seat that day, that's what I was asking him about. I was going to say, Lord, now what about this car? And he said, it'll be taken care of tomorrow by noon. And I was driving that car to work because I had it on the bulletin boards of all of those places at the Naval Air Station. And the next day, about 11:30, somebody come by and looked at it and said, I want to buy this car. And I had the title in the glove compartment. And he had a checkbook. Are you with me? So I'm telling you, it doesn't make any difference what it is in your life. Your Heavenly Father he loves you. He has more. He can do more than you can even ask or think. And he won't give you a stone, and he won't give you a serpent, and he won't give you a scorpion when you ask. He's glad you're asking. He may say, you need to correct this. We're talking about answered prayer here this morning. I went a little over. I don't apologize for it. I get excited because I know God has some exciting things for you if you'll take this and begin to talk to Him and ask Him and worship Him and praise Him and develop a relationship with Him. Boy. You have tremendous power available. Boy, that's a powerful effectiveness in your prayers because you have a Heavenly Father that's with you and loves you. Let's stand. Thank you, Father, for this teaching that you've given to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful Father. We never cease to be amazed at the fact that we can come before you, our Heavenly Father, and not just because we need things or want things or have concerns, but we can just come before you sometimes, Father, and just fall before your throne of grace and say, thank you, thank you, thank you,
for being such a wonderful God and a wonderful Father. Thank you for your most precious gift, your precious Son, who bore our sins and shed his blood so that we might have this relationship with you. Thank you for Jesus, a name that is above every name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day, everybody. God bless you. Take care. Pray for us and pray for one another.